From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. It's a brand new week and a brand new set of obstacles that we're going to go over, breaking down this team, its current roster, and its constituents this week as we take a look about where they may be going very soon in the future. We're brought to you by Built Bar today, and if you want to get in on the savings, go over to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On to get 20% off your next order. Lot going on as we start to look forward. We are going to have the quarterback discussion today. We are also going to get into what goes into preparing a bit of a change. Obviously, Patrick's Patrick, but everything else is up for grabs at this point, and it's up for grabs all around the NFL right now. A couple of interesting stories. We're going to get into a number of them, plus a little bit of special news. I'm Brian Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. And we do really appreciate all of the new iTunes reviews we've been getting. Thank you very much for all those five-star reviews that we've gotten recently. We do really appreciate that.
Yeah, that helps a lot. Very, very helpful. And if you have you have thoughts or things you'd like to hear, put them in there too. No reason you can't go back and add to your review as well. And reviewing what's been going on is probably something that's happening in the Mahomes family right now, because sleep is probably an afterthought at this point.
Yeah, definitely going to be. It looks like Patrick Mahomes and Brittany have had their baby. So congratulations, Patrick. Welcome to the brotherhood of being a father.
Yeah.
The girls, even. I mean, we could even take it that far.
Right. Take naps, bro. That's all I'm going to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We both have daughters. We both have been there. And it is something that definitely takes some getting used to. And I know that Patrick's got a workout regimen. We know that he had the toe surgically repaired. So he's on the go. That may actually lend itself towards, he's probably not training at full speed at this point. He's taking a little bit gingerly, and maybe that gives him a little bit more time to take a nap now and then.
Yeah, you got to hope so. And honestly, congratulations to both of them. It's an exciting time, and I'm really happy to hear that everything seems to have turned out all right for them. So that's great news.
Now, easy is not a word that I would use for what's going on with quarterbacks in general across the league, but one in particular. If you haven't seen it on social media, you can go find Deshaun Watson's response when he found out a couple of things. And that look is kind of stuck in my head when he hears about all these rumors about what's going on with his team. J.J. Watt is now out and has successfully extracted himself from the debacle in Houston. But rumors are everywhere, honestly, of Deshaun Watson. One that's particularly interesting for this team and this fan base is that it seems the Denver Broncos have given up on Drew Lock and are starting to make a serious push to try and wrangle Deshaun Watson away from the Texans.
Yeah, and to me, I think they're going too far too fast. But, you know, obviously Deshaun Watson's going to be an upgrade to all but what, four teams in this league? Kansas City and Green Bay obviously wouldn't trade for Deshaun Watson. I think you could make an argument Tampa Bay wouldn't because of Tom Brady. And just winning the Super Bowl, I don't think that they would go there. But other than that, I don't know where Deshaun Watson wouldn't be an upgrade at QB. So I get that Denver would want to look at upgrading, but the problem is you've given Drew Lock 2 years, and you finally started giving him weapons last year, and his best weapon that he had actually gotten used to got hurt, so he wasn't even there for most of the season, and he got beat up behind a horrible offensive line the year before that. So you're not giving him the best chance. And Deshaun Watson isn't going to get a much better chance, although the line is better and hopefully they'll have weapons back.
Well, and that's what it comes down to, is because Deshaun has a no-trade clause in his contract. So he ostensibly gets to choose from any deal that the Texans can put together. And that's what it comes down to. That offensive line in Denver is not something that he wants to go play behind. Are there others around the league? Sure. It's also a consideration, and I'm not sure that I buy this, but a lot of people make the argument that he doesn't want to go to the AFC West and have to play Patrick twice a year no matter what. I kind of don't buy that, because I feel like Deshaun himself would be up for the challenge. It's a simple way for a guy who was taken in the same draft to keep his name and his competition with Patrick right there the whole time. I think it's about his chance to win, and so that's why I really can't see him approving going to Denver unless the Texans can't get any other deal on the table.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard to see, and not saying he won't do it, but man, if he does it, that's going to be quite the league, quite the division. I mean, Justin Herbert is going to be obviously a very good QB in this league for many years to come as well. So between having Watson and Herbert and Mahomes all in the same division. That's going to be tough for the AFC West. And yeah, I'm not mentioning you, Derek Carr. I can't believe he's still in Las Vegas at this point, honestly.
Well, if this trade does happen, the one person who's alone in a dark room crying is John Gruden, because
absolutely
he's
definitely outmanned.
Yeah, he's got no paddles and he is way up the creek at that point. So it's going to be tough, but we'll have to see, and we'll keep you updated on what goes on with Deshaun, how it plays out, as well as a lot of these other quarterbacks. If you missed our Wentz discussion, we covered that last Friday. Go back and check that one out as well. But we have to get on to this quarterback, this team, and where they're going. So we're going to jump into it coming up next. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are going to be back in full swing. And Bet Online even covers award shows, reality TV, all kinds of stuff. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code's Locked On for BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything you need to know about the Chiefs, but what about the rest of the league? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it's all about sports, all you need, all the news, every morning, and it's under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. So when we get into, hey, yes, it's good to have the MVP, and yes, I'm still going to refer to him from here on forward, no matter what. It was a tough way to end the season. Patrick didn't, I think Patrick bore some of the blame for what happened in that Super Bowl as well, continuing to push down the field, not taking the underneath, not taking the easy thing. But that's what you get when you have an ultra competitor like that, and a guy who's been at the top of the mountain, you know?
That's part of his competitive streak.
Exactly. And that double-edged sword, I think, you know, through the ebbs and flow of his entire career is going to be way more upside than it is drawback. So I'm not concerned about that. But the state of the passing game itself, knowing that this team bases their offense on that pass game, to have that happen at the pinnacle of the season, I think more so than we've seen any other time in this, you know, this run it back year, where teams really do see that this can help, especially if they're going to play into our defense by playing deep defenses, et cetera, and continue to push it downfield. We can make them stymie themselves. This is something where the evolution of this passing game itself within this offense has to, I think, be a bit more adaptable, so that not only can Patrick pull it down and throw the 10-yard routes, but so that you get more levels in this offense from Andy Reid, rather than calling, you know, the four goes with a dig and that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, and I get what you're saying. I think that that's a great thing. You know, I think Kansas City is going to be looking at changing the way that they're going to play, hopefully, over the next couple of seasons as they're going to have to evolve this offense. But it's always fun to see how Reid changes what he does from year to year.
Yeah, and he generally is good at adapting to what he's going to get. I think what caught them off guard is clearly from everything that we heard, they didn't expect to see that kind of, especially the uniqueness. And kudos to Todd Bowles again for playing what looks like a pre-vet defense with three deep, but really wasn't, where they're running that robber up and doing a number of things that wasn't the classic. I think you're going to have to make defensive coordinators get more creative. And so that's going to require not just more weapons, but more being in sync and dissecting where you can complete passes, how you make those side adjustments in order to be more efficient with the ball in your hand, not just stressing everyone deep.
Yeah, and I have to point this out really quick because we're starting to look at, you know, how these different players fit into what the Chiefs are going to do. And one of the big keys to me is we all know that Andy Reid doesn't like running the ball. That's always been one of his things. But I'm sitting here looking at stats and I'm comparing Patrick Mahomes' stats to Alex Smith's stats. And I'm not looking at yards. I'm looking at attempts. In Patrick's first season as a starter, his only season in which he's played all 16 games, he attempted 580 passes. Alex Smith, in his first season as a starter for the Chiefs, attempted 508, and that was the most he did. Now, what I find most astounding about that is you sit there and you look at it a step further. Patrick Mahomes only played in 15 games in 2020 and attempted 588 passes in 15 games. Kansas City is throwing the ball more, and we knew that But that's a stark difference from what they were doing under Alex Smith, and that's changing how they're going to play.
Yeah, it makes a number of things change in terms of personnel and, you know, the allotment of salary cap that you use for them. And we ran down the entire salary cap last week, you guys. If you didn't hear that, go back and check that out as well, because it gives you a lot of insight as to where they choose to spend money. And they're, I think, going to have to adjust that as well, because the state of this passing game is that they need to continue what they want. And for those of you out there that have a draft favorite already or have some things that you're looking at, possession, jump ball, point of catch receivers are not in the formula for this team. They don't want them. It will be speed. It will be separation. That's all that they care about, because even if they do play a more disciplined game than we saw in Super Bowl 55, and they do take the unders and they take the crossers and they take the yardage they can get and reset the chains, they still want to go deep every single play. It's a home run first, and then you check down. So they're still going to be that stereotypical draft choices for this team. It's not just replacing Ty Hill. It's not just that Hardman was similar to what Ty Hill does. It's that they want speed across the board.
Yeah, I think that's going to be key when you start looking at the draft and what this team is going to do. But I also think it's possible that Kansas City is going to continue to draft those skill position players, trying to find another guy more like Hill than Hardman, obviously. And I think it's, you know, that could get a little frustrating over the next couple of years, but I fully expect that that's what they're going to continue to do.
Oh, I do too. And I already have one that I think everybody is going to enjoy when we unleash that here in the next week or two that bears some similarity. And then I think the Chiefs will have to take a look at eventually, but it's not as much as it's about Patrick. It's also about how do you back him up? How do you do? Like you said, he's only played one season where he played all 16 games. Now, this last one was obviously by choice, but still. The toe.
Yeah, but he did go out with an injury.
Right, exactly. And the toe is another thing that could crop back up. So we have to take a look at depth and how they're going to approach the backup quarterback positions in supporting Patrick in a number of different ways. We're going to do that next. Built Bar has upped the ante. Delicious, perhaps their best bar yet. If you liked cookie dough chunk Built Bar, then you're going to love coconut brownie chunk. Dark chocolate, coconut, and real brownie chunks. It doesn't get any better.
Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go check out the peanut butter. It has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It is absolutely delicious, in my opinion. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off.
It's a limited-time flavor, so go out and get it today at BuiltBar.com. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. So let's see. What is Patrick against the cap? $17,000 million? I'm not sure how you say that correctly.
Real quick, I just want to throw this in there from one of the last things I want to say on what we're talking about. Mahomes still completed 66% of his passes at attempting 588. He almost completed 400 passes in an NFL season in 15 games. That's insane.
It's like he's good or something.
Well, yeah, obviously. Just a little bit. A little bit.
And to my previous question, he's 24.8 this year.
Yeah, I was just getting there myself. And guaranteed salary of 22.8. So basically the entire salary is guaranteed, which not any concern that he's going to be going anywhere anyway. So, you know, that doesn't really matter what his guaranteed salary is. The whole point of that is, though, you have to start looking at the backup quarterback position differently. I was of the opinion before I started looking at the numbers that maybe they're not going to be able to get a guy like Chad Henne or Matt Moore to back up Patrick Mahomes. Because if you got to pay him $3 or $4 million, you may be able to do it this year when Patrick's number is around 26, but it's going to be 30 to 35 very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And that's a creep. And so what they have is the response is you kind of have to put your eggs all in one basket. That's what a quarterback on a second contract is. It makes you shrink the abilities of your backups because you can't afford it. They're not going to have $4 or $5 or $6 million backup anymore.
Yeah. By the year 2023, Patrick's cap number becomes $42.5 million.
Now, that's nothing to sneeze at. It's not Ben Roethlisberger who's at that point right now, and the Steelers are expected to move on from him, at least if they're actually thinking about anything. But it does bring it back. So surprisingly, I think we both were a little caught off guard when we double checked this today that Chad Henne's actually under contract for next season. I kind of spaced on that one.
Well, not only is he under contract, but he's under contract for an amount that actually isn't that bad. I mean, $1.6 million is his cap number for next year. And while you could make an argument that maybe you could go find somebody out there cheaper, you're not going to find somebody that's going to be that has Henne's experience is going to be anywhere near $1.6 million. If he wants to be in Kansas City on that contract, he will be here next year. And I'm okay having that as the investment because I think he can step in and he showed you he can step in and win a game if he needs to.
And that's, you know, for what, three runs a season, I'm more than comfortable with that. Just don't get hurt, Chad.
Yeah.
But that said,
please don't do what you did in that one game unless it's, you know, game season's on the line. But
right. But that's actually, like you said, more feasible, more affordable than I actually expected. And like I said, I wasn't even really aware that he was on the roster already. So that's a done deal there. Do they like Matt Moore? Yeah. Did Matt Moore play well for them in 2019? In the Super Bowl season, he certainly did.
Mm-hmm.
If they chose to bring him back, it would be at even more of a sweetheart deal at this point, which I don't think his last contract was very much to begin with. So that's an option. Well,
he was on the practice squad. So, I mean, it wasn't hardly anything.
Yeah, right. It was 600K or something like that.
Yeah. So really what it comes down to for me is the question is, are they going to bring Matt Moore back? Because, and this is something we probably should have talked about before we even started this conversation about QBs. But you also have to look at this in the lens of, are things going to change that much from this past season into next season? In my opinion, I think things are going to stay about the same. I don't expect that they're going to be going back to what they did before when it came to, you know, the number of players on a practice squad and what you could do with elevating players. Just because COVID is still going to be around more than likely by the time the NFL season kicks off again.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. I expected the practice squad rules in particular to remain the same. And so
maybe you can't get Matt Moore for this year.
Yeah, right. I mean, because Matt Moore was on the same kind of contract that Jordan Ta'amu and Anthony Gordon are on. And those are $660K a piece, the practice squad contracts. You can elevate from there, not a problem. And that's really what it comes down to, because especially we talked a lot last week about what kind of restructure has to happen on the offensive line. A lot of questions there about returning players as well as new ones. So that brings away from the fact that if you're going to continue your offensive philosophy and you're not going to be more disciplined and run the ball more, which is something we have to talk about because I think defenses are going to take what the Super Bowl did and try to force this team to run more. So I actually feel that they're going to have to. But if they don't, that means there's a possibility that this whole offensive line restack doesn't happen in one season, which means there's going to be more pressure. There's going to be more quarterback hits. So for you and me, I think we're both comfortable with both Moore and Henne, but do you have to get younger in case you get to the point where Patrick has to miss a game or two and you need somebody who can A, get away and B, take those hits?
Yeah, I think you go back to the philosophy of maybe taking a flyer on a guy in maybe the seventh round and start looking at maybe seeing if you can develop somebody. But really quick, I just want to throw this out there because I looked it up and I verified practice squad contracts are only making on for Matt Moore. It was $200,000 last year. So he wasn't making 660. So that's even less of an expense. And honestly, once you get past COVID, I'm not so sure that practice squads don't stay around the same size that they are now. I just don't think you'll have the elevation ability that you have. But with the league looking at going to a 17th game, which is going to be a whole new ball game when it comes to thinking of all of the different stats and everything else, I do think that that becomes more of an issue, and you continue to have, what was it, 16 players on the practice squad this year?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be something that they're going to look at expanding, because honestly, why not? I think that actually helps the league prepare for the future.
So at the end of the day, do you feel like they will want to go with two veterans? I expect Henne to be here.
Yeah, no, I expect Henne to be here, but I also think that if they can do the same thing with Matt Moore that they did last year, I think they're going to do it. But my key on that is, can they continue to do what they did last year? If they can't, then they're probably going to have to look somewhere else, because I don't see them paying and keeping him on the roster, because they still didn't have three QBs on the roster most of the season. They only had two. So when you start looking at numbers and how you're going to play things out and everything else, that also becomes a factor. And I think that's another key with that.
And like you said, the Chiefs are always looking to add a quarterback in every draft. They've said that routinely. It doesn't always happen, but they're
open.
That was
before Mahomes.
Right.
So I wonder if that'll change a little bit. But I personally would think that that would be something that you would still look at, because Reed is so good at developing them. If you can draft somebody in the sixth or seventh round, that's not generally going to be somebody that's going to contribute to your team in years one, two, or three in a large way. So if you can draft somebody in the sixth or seventh round and turn them into a second or third round pick two or three years later, to me, that's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a couple of quarterbacks that I can think of right now that will be either really late draft round picks or even UDFAs that might fit that bill. Now, that's not to say that Anthony Gordon couldn't come around. I'm not super optimistic on that, but I think Jordan Ta'amu with the COVID release and then coming back tells you that he's done enough for them to like on that practice squad, if nothing else. So I expect him to be returned as well.
Yeah, but the other thing that you have to look at, and this is going to be something else that we're going to have to focus on this entire season, in the offseason and draft, who's taking this seriously? Because that is one thing that Kansas City obviously did the entire season. They didn't really have issues with COVID in their team. Mm-hmm. Because it seems like the entire organization really took this seriously from the start, and they had protocols in place and the team followed them. Now, don't get me wrong, you're going to have, you know, one-offs here and there where you have issues, but for the most part, I'd say they did a fantastic job. And obviously you didn't run into situations where you had a chance at missing a game, at least on your end.
Yeah. And it takes the whole team. And I expect them to have that same attitude as well, whether it's the quarterbacks or even the safeties. And the safeties are who we're going to look at tomorrow, everyone, along with what Spags likes to do with them and what we can expect going forward. So make sure that you come back tomorrow. We're going to move through the entire roster here over the next couple of weeks. We want to get into the weeds on some of it. So it's going to be a healthy discussion. We hope that you're here for all of it. And thank you for the iTunes reviews. And if you'd like something specific, make sure you drop another one in there and let us know. So tomorrow, Spags coverage is a look at the safeties. And moving on with the news as we get closer and closer to free agency. We thank you for your time today and listening to us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.